name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the second Sunday of the blessed month of Tut, and as we read in the Gospel, the lawyer presented a question to the Lord, which is a very important one, but for the wrong motive. He asked the question, "What shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" And although it's a good question, but the motive was to test the Lord and not for his own salvation. We began to speak 2 weeks ago about the primary means for our salvation, one of the cornerstones for our salvation. This is our repentance. We said in the beginning of every Coptic year, we try to focus on the theme of repentance. And we began to speak about Psalm 50, the one that we pray in the Agbeya. And we saw in it, in the beginning, first that this was a psalm that David the prophet wrote after he committed the sin with Uriah's wife. And we said that, or we answered the question, that why would the Bible record this for us? And we said first, because to realize that each and every one of us, no matter what spiritual level we're in, no matter what maturity level we're at, we all are subject to sin, and we will all sin. Number two is that we all have repentance, right? We all have repentance no matter how horrible the sin is. There's no sin without forgiveness. And then we looked at how David described his sin, and he described it in three ways with three words. He described his sin as iniquity, sin, and evil. And we said these were a bit different than each other. We said iniquity was going from bad to worse. And this is actually what happened with his sin. He went from lust to murder to adultery. So it progressed. And this is oftentimes what happens with sin. And we said that the term sin is falling short of the mark, missing the mark. God wants us to be children of light and lights to the world, but sometimes my behavior doesn't exemplify that. And the third we said was evil. He described a sin as evil. And we said evil was crossing the boundary that God has set for us. The safe quarters are here, and we sometimes, or Satan tries to tempt us to go over here. So what is the remedy to my sin? I began last 2 weeks ago by saying that it's twofold. One is our responsibility, and then the other is what we ask God to do for us in our repentance. We'll speak about today three small points about what is my role in repentance. What is my role in repentance? And the idea would be taking from Psalm 50 that we pray every day. David begins the psalm and he says, "For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is at all times before me, or is always before me." He said this to himself, that I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge my sin. And this is the first thing, is acknowledging that you have sinned. It sounds like a simple concept, but oftentimes it's more difficult to do. We find ourselves justifying for ourselves every action that I make. But at the end of the day, we can't make excuses for ourselves. We can't make excuses for ourselves. Nobody possesses us to force us to do something. But every action we do is a choice and is a product of mind, reason, will, impulses, emotions, but all of these things I'm responsible for as a human being and as a person created in God's image, and I will give account to them before God. So we shouldn't make excuses. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, the excuses began. So with entry of sin, the excuses began. When God came to Adam and said, "Why did you eat of the fruit?" What did he do? "The woman made me eat it, or give it to me to eat." And not only that, he says, "The woman that you gave me." So had you given me, if you hadn't given me her to me, then it wouldn't have happened. Right? So then when he asked Eve, "Why did you eat of it?" What'd she do? "The serpent made me do it." Right? So this is the nature of sin. We don't want to take responsibility. And that's why the first principle in my repentance is acknowledging that I have sinned. I have done wrong. I have sinned. And this idea of blaming is actually, it's contagious, where I blame the other person or push the blame on somebody else. Remember Cain? When Cain killed his brother, God appeared to him and he said, Cain, where's your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? So he took, you know, he says, I don't know. He wanted to justify himself. And here, of course, he's trying to make himself as in, am I responsible for my brother? I saw everything, God is telling him. I saw everything. When I ask you, where is your brother? It's not because I don't know. I'm asking you where your brother is because I've seen what you did and I want to give you an opportunity to repent of your sin. But he didn't. He justified himself. Am I my brother's keeper? Saul was the same way. Saul, when they were going against the Philistines, or the Philistines were coming upon them, Samuel told him, don't do anything until I come back and we offer the sacrifice and see what the Lord wants us to do. So he's like, all right, we have a deal. Day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. He said, after 7 days, I'll be back. At the 7th day, he couldn't wait any longer. He felt the pressure of the Philistine. He said, you know what? I'm going to do this myself. And as soon as he went and offered the sacrifice, guess who came? Samuel, right? Like always does, right when we commit the sin, you know, then the rebuke comes. And Samuel said, what have you done? And listen to what Saul's response is. Then Saul said, then I said, the Philistines will now come down to me, on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. I felt compelled and I offered. I felt compelled. I felt forced. If God had waited just a little bit longer, if God had held the Philistines back just a little bit longer, then I wouldn't have sinned. Again, he's not acknowledging his sin. He's pushing his sin on somebody else. And there's somebody else, in this case, actually happens to be God. That's why St. Pachomius has a beautiful saying. And he says, to see one's sin is more profitable than seeing wonders or revelations. To see one's sin is better than to see a revelation. So we might say, oh, how beautiful it would be to see an angel, to see Marimina, to see Pope Carolus, to see any of the saints that you like. But no, he says it's better and more profitable for us to see our sins. Because seeing the saint or the vision will not lead to our salvation, but repentance will. Seeing my sin will lead me to salvation. The problem is, unfortunately, my beloved, we don't measure ourselves against the Word of God. The Word of God is a light that enlightens our mind with the mind of Christ. If I want to see what Christ thinks of me, I read the Bible. I read the scripture because it's his light that enlightens us. And then David also said that my sin is at all times before me. My sin is always before me. Is it good to remember one's sin? Is it good to remember your sin always? Yes, it's good to remember it, but not to the point of hopelessness, not to the doubt of your forgiveness. Because if this is the plan that we want to take, Satan always has a counter plan. He says, you want to remember your sin? Okay, then I'll make you doubt in the forgiveness of God. No, we don't doubt in God's forgiveness as long as I'm repentant. Because this is a promise that he promised you and I, and all his promises are true. And every man will be a liar. So he promised us forgiveness. But when he says, my sin is at all times before me, what is he saying here? That it is good for us to remember our sins. It's just like what? To remember our sin is to remember the experience and the result of what happened. It's just like, you know, if you go and you touch a fire or something that's hot. And maybe you didn't know that it was hot. But now that you got burned the first time, you know, next time I'm not going to touch this because I know that this is hot. Right? So it's the same thing. When I see or do a sin, then I know that this is hot, this is sin, and I don't do it again. Also, remembering our sin keeps us humble. Keeps us humble. Oftentimes, we sometimes might feel that I'm better than somebody. I come to church, I fast Wednesday and Friday, I give my tithe, I attend Sunday school, I'm a servant in the church. So we say I have good reason to think that I'm fine, right? But no, when we remember our sins, it keeps us humble. You know, somebody that comes to me in confession and says, you know, Buna, I've struggled with so-and-so, and then one of them is pride. My response is, okay, just remember, keep this piece of paper that you have. Keep the list of sins. Then when you think about that you're this wonderful person, just look at this sin, I look at this list, and remind yourself of, I have many sins that I'm working on. Also, remembering our sins not only keeps us humble, but it leads to us to be compassionate to other people who are in sin. It instills in us this compassion, where if we see somebody else sin, we don't say, look at them, look how bad they are, we don't point the finger. We say, no, I'm a sinner as well. Although his might be, or hers might be something that's more visible, but let me not forget mine that's invisible. Let me not forget mine that's hidden. Right? So it leads us to be more compassionate when we remember our sins. Our problem, unfortunately, again, my beloved, is that when we see sin, we see, rather than putting our sin before us, we put other people's sins before us and our sins behind us. We put other people's sin in front of us and then our sin behind us. We want to flip this. We want to put our sins in front of us and the sins of others behind us. The desire not to know the sins of other people is very important. Many people like to gossip and like to know the juice or the news about everybody. But knowing this news about everybody puts their sin before me. And the more sins that I have, or the more sins that I know other people before me, the less there's room for my own sins before me. So we have to flip it. Let's put my sins before me, and the sins of other people, let's put it behind me. Also, in terms of putting my sin before me, sometimes you look at the people that put my sin in front of my own eyes, we despise them. But you know what we should do? We should thank them. You know, one time in the story of St. Moses the Strong, his disciples came and told him that there is a monk among us who's a sinner and we've caught him in sin. Come judge him. So he says, no, I'm not coming. They said, no, you have to come. You're our elder. So then he said, okay. So he filled the sack of sand and he put a hole in it. And he came to them from the desert carrying this big sack on his shoulder. When he got there, the disciples were like, what is he doing? You know, he was scared. Does he want to bring sand? If he does, why is there a hole in the bottom of it? He says, no, this is my sins that I'm dragging with me here to judge somebody else. How am I going to judge somebody else and I have a sack of sin that I'm carrying? This, but he gave them the example of what Christ said when he said, take the plank out of your own eye before you try to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So he remembered his sin. His sin was always before him. The second part in my role in repentance, after acknowledging my sin, is that understand that my sin is against God. David says, against you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Sin is first and foremost against God. But was this the only person that he sinned against? Was God? No. He sinned against Uriah. He sinned against his wife. But then he says, first and foremost, he says, against you only I have sinned and done evil before you. Sin is against God. And sin can also be against men and our brethren. And that's why our repentance is twofold. It's confession before God and reconciliation with my brother. So if I've sinned against a brother, it needs to be reconciled or returned to them. For example, if I steal something from somebody, it needs to be returned to them as part of my repentance. I can't say I've stole something from somebody and I come to God and repent and intend on keeping this thing. If it can be returned, it should be returned, right? So it's twofold. And why is it first and foremost against God? Is because sometimes when we sin, and we sin against each other, we can bear the consequences of our sin. Oh, this person's not going to talk to me. Oh, this person's not going to give me money. This person's not going to give me business. That's something we can bear. But you know what we can't afford? Is God. Is God saying, I have nothing to do with you. I'm going to separate myself from you. That we can't afford. Because that means eternal condemnation for us. So we can't afford that. So our sin is first and foremost against God. And it's not something simply that I have to convince myself of. This is God's perspective as well. Remember in this in Genesis 20, in the story of Abimelech and Abraham, when Abimelech came and took Sarah's wife after he had asked Abraham, "Who is she?" And she said, "He's my my brother," and he said, "She's my sister." God had, and then Abimelech tells God that, "I did this in the innocence of my heart." You know how God responded to Abimelech? He tells him what? "Yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me, therefore I did not let you touch her." So God considered Abimelech's taking of Sarah as a sin against who? Against him. Against him. Not Abraham, but against God. Right? So even to the Gentile, even to the person who doesn't believe in God, the sin is first and foremost against God. So this is not simply something I just have to convince myself of, but it's something that God tells us, this is how I feel. Am I happy that people don't see my sin? Of course. Nobody wants their sin to be evident before anybody else. And if we're so ashamed of our sins because of becoming known by other people, then how much more that it is before God. You know, somebody, one of the elders in the monastery once said to the monks, his brethren, "You know what? We're more scared of dogs than we are of God." And they said, "What are you talking about? How can we be scared of dogs?" He's like, "Yeah, the dog outside or whatever will come in and start barking, and this will startle all of us." Right? But then when God says, you know, "You have sinned," this doesn't startle us. We don't get startled from God's commandment as we do maybe from a dog. This should rebuke us. The third and final role in my repentance, after acknowledging my sin and recognizing that my sin is against God, the last one is confess God's justice. Confessing God's justice, His just justice. He says again in verse 4, he says, "That you might be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." That you might be found just when you speak and blameless when you judged. And here, any judgment that God pronounces on me, we should consider and we should know that we deserve it. Any judgment that God judges us, we should look at it and say, "You know what, I deserve this." Do you know who did this? The thief on the right. The right-hand thief at the cross. Remember what he said to the guy next to him? He says, "We indeed justly, for we received the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." He says, this cross of ours is because of what we did, and you know what? We deserve it. And it was actually because of this confession that he judged himself. Christ told him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Rule of thumb. If I judge myself, God won't judge me. Rule of thumb. Very simple. And the courts of the land took the same kind of principle. We are never convicted of the same crime twice. If you get caught stealing and you pay your community service and your fees, you can't go to court again for the same crime twice. It's just one time. So the question is, do I want to go face the judge or face myself here, or rather would I face the Creator there? Repentance offers us the opportunity to face ourselves here, and then God will forgive it or forget it in heaven. And also it says that you might be justified when you speak. When we justify God, we will actually be justified. When we justify God, we will be justified. Job, in his life initially, he believed that God's dealing with him was unjust. Believed that it was unfair. What did I do? But then at the end, after he had this long conversation with him and his friends, and he spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke, and at the end, he realized, okay, I've said what I have to say. And then God said, "Now let me speak." And he gave him a series of questions, a lot of questions, that he couldn't answer, and he had no answer to. Where were you when I created the world? Do you know how the earth is held up in its place? All of these questions he had no answer for. So then he realized that, "I don't know. I'm nothing compared to God. I'm nothing." So now who am I to question God's judgment? It's when he realized this, then everything was restored to him. His wife was restored to him, his family, his children. He had 10 more children, and he had more wealth than he had before. When he realized when he justified God and not himself. So we said that the remedy to sin is two parts. My part and what we ask God to do. What we ask God to do is will be our discussion next time. What our role is number one, is to acknowledge my sin. To know that my sin is always, and keep my sin always before me, not behind me. Number two is that my sin is against God. If every time we commit a sin, whether it be gossip, whether it be stealing, whether it be looking at something inappropriate, whatever sin that I commit, first and foremost, it's against God. And all of us here, we're baptized and we're purchased by the blood of Christ. So we're no longer ourselves. So you say, okay, if I hurt myself, how is this against God? No, it's against God because you belong to him. Our sin is against God. And number three, confess in God's justice. When we make God good, he makes us good. When we victimize God, we are left alone. Okay? May God grant us to recognize our role in repentance and to begin this year in this path, as David did when he acknowledged his sin and kept his sin always before him. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.